Well, there was an elderly lady who heard about Facebook, heard some of her kids and grandkids talk about Facebook, but she'd never been on Facebook before, and she figured out how it worked, and so she thought, I'm going to try this whole Facebook thing, except, you know, I don't have a computer and I don't have the internet, so I'm going to try Facebook in real life. So I'm going to approach people the same way that people do on Facebook. And so what she did was, as she was walking down the street, she started randomly telling passerbys what she ate for lunch, how she felt in that moment, what she did the night before, what she was doing later, and with whom. She started showing random people pictures of things that she had done that summer with her family, pictures of her dog, pictures of her gardening, things that she did in the garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of significant landmarks, driving around town, doing whatever she did throughout the day. She listened in on other people's conversations and gave them a thumbs up to let them know that she liked what they were saying. And it worked just like it did on Facebook. This is what she said. I already have 4 people following me. 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. So I want to talk to you today about having a proper perspective. All of us in life will experience events, similar events, in some cases identical events. We will literally be in the same room, and yet we will leave with somehow different experiences. Why is it that that could be? Because we all have different perspectives. Every single one of you in this room are going to have experienced the same worship service, sung the same songs, heard the same message in that, and yet every one of you will go home with a different experience. Pastor Krister, who pastored here before me, he would often tell me, he said, Tim, there are as many sermons in the room as there are people. There's not just one sermon, because everybody hears something different and takes home something different with them. We all experience life through a filter, and that filter is called perspective. We all have something different that we bring. I've heard of the story about a shoemaker who wanted to expand his business, and he started making plans to travel into a new country. He had some connections there, and he wanted to bring this shoemaking business into this third world country. He was talking to one of his friends about it, and he said, I don't know if you've done your research into this country, but nobody in that whole country wears shoes. So why do you think it's a good idea for you to open up a shoemaking company in a place where nobody wears shoes? To which he said, you know, I find it a lot harder to sell shoes to people who already have them. See, all he saw was unlimited sales opportunity. What is that? Those two men saw the same experience, the same set of facts, the same realities, and yet they had 2 completely different perspectives. We have different perspectives on life, and I believe that we all have good perspectives sometimes, but mostly our perspectives are pretty faulty. And I believe that God has the best perspective on life, and what we need is to get his perspective on our circumstances. And this year, we've been proclaiming over 2020 that it's going to be the year of more, that it's going to be a year where we experience more of the goodness of God than we've ever experienced before. We're going to see more answered prayers, more turnarounds, more job opportunities, more families reconciled and healing come through different family members. We're believing that there's going to be more people come to know Jesus. We're going to have more baptisms. We're going to have more disciples made, more people, more leaders raised up. We're believing that this is going to be a blessed year, not just for our church. This isn't just about our ministries and things that we experience as a corporate church body. We're believing that there's going to be more experiences of blessings for your home and for your family, and that we're all going to be able to experience this together. I believe that there's going to be some neighbors that we're going to lead to Jesus this year. Anybody have a neighbor who needs Jesus? Like, not right now, not the person sitting beside you. Maybe they do too. You could pray for them after service. But I believe that we're going to have some neighbors that come to know Jesus, and I believe that we're going to have the boldness to go and lead our neighbors to Jesus. Hello. See, you were excited about the financial breakthrough until I talked about talking to your neighbors, right? It's amazing how that happens. So we spent the first 2 weeks of this year talking about how we believe that this is going to be the year of more, because our God is a God of more and we are a people of more. It's who we are. We're destined to win. We're destined to have our prayers answered. We're destined to see God move. And then last week we had Teen Challenge here. Who was here last week for Teen Challenge? I wasn't here, but I got to listen online. I'm so thankful for the internet and modern technology. Were those not beautiful testimonies of the grace of God? And I was so excited that we got to bring them in the midst of this word on this being the year of more, because here's what I believe. I believe that this year we're going to see more people set free from addictions. I believe we're going to see more people set free from addictions. And I don't know if you live in the same world as me, but that's a whole lot of people. And so, if you got your Bibles, you can open with me to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be in a few places this morning, but if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can. Luke chapter 9, and we're gonna read through of a story of Jesus and an encounter that he has with his disciples. This is one of his most famous miracles, I think, the feeding of the 5,000. And what I want us to see is what I believe Jesus was trying to get his disciples to see. See, every time Jesus performed a miracle, he was not trying to get people to do this. That's awesome. Jesus was not looking for people to applaud him. Jesus was not looking for people to be impressed with him. Jesus was not trying to get people to just celebrate him and how great it was that he could perform miracles. Whenever Jesus performs a miracle, let me tell you two fundamental things that I believe why he does miracles. Number one, because he loves and has compassion for the person that he's performing the miracle for. The simple biggest reason why Jesus performs miracles is because he loves you. The reason why he meets a person's need is because he has compassion on them. He loves them. But the second reason that he performs miracles is so that everybody else in their life, everybody who gets to witness it or hear about it, they can learn something about God. We learn something about God and the kingdom of God whenever we see Jesus do a miracle. When Jesus opens blind eyes, we see a glimpse into the Father who wants to open our eyes to see the truth of who he is. When we read of Jesus setting people free from demonic influence, we see a glimpse into the Father who wants to completely free us from all influences of the evil one. So let's learn about God through this miracle today. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. This is what we read. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. And when the crowds learned it, they followed him and welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into one of the surrounding villages and countrysides to find lodging and get provision, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all of these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And there was left over 12 baskets of broken pieces. What we encounter in this miracle is two radically different perspectives. Jesus' perspective and the disciples' perspective. Again, they're in the same place, experiencing the same set of circumstances, and yet what they see is very different, and how they respond is very different. Jesus had been preaching for a while, praying for a while. The church service had been going for a long time. And you know what happens when the church service goes for a long time? Somebody starts thinking about food. And so here you get these disciples, spiritual godly men that they are. They say, "Jesus, we've been going for a long time now, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure that other people are hungry." Notice they don't say that they're hungry. We're far too spiritual to be hungry. We're fasting and praying today, but other people are probably hungry. I guarantee you those disciples were hungry, but they blamed it on other people. Other people must be hungry. We should probably send them into town so that they can get something to eat, to which Jesus says, "How about you feed them?" I just love Jesus. Don't you just love Jesus? He says the strangest things that once you lean in a little bit closer, you find out aren't really all that strange. The problem is that we're strange and we don't accurately hear what he's trying to say. Jesus says, how about you feed them? Notice their response. This is what I want to focus on here. Verse 13. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, the disciples, like you and I, have a tendency to have a limited perspective. We want to get excited about a year of more, and yet if we don't do something to renew our mind and change our thinking, here's our natural slant. We naturally think no more. We naturally think, I've got limited resources, limited time. They said we've got no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. We see the limited time that we have, the limited work that we have. We see the limited abilities that we have, and we feel defeated. And even when God encourages us and gives us a vision and a dream and wants us to dream big, sometimes we can dream big for a little bit. But after a while, you know what we start doing? We start thinking real small again. And we start going over the details. And God gives you a vision about something big. And you know what we start thinking? Who's going to pay for that? How many, you see, okay, there's the property and then the building and then the water bill and then the hydro bill. And God wants us to dream big. And how many of you would agree that sometimes we think real small? God's trying to tell you that I've got great plans for your life, and they're to bless you and prosper you, and they're not to harm you. And yet we think about, well, yeah, but what happens if I trip? Do I have life insurance, health insurance? Do I've got, you know, all those things are good. But we immediately go into the mindset of this limitation. This is what the disciples say. We've got no more. We don't have enough to feed everybody. This is all that we have. Limited perspective, limited perspective, limited perspective. The only way that we can feed all these people is if we go somewhere else to get something that we don't currently have. And this is what so many of us do. We don't think that we have enough in and of ourselves, in and of our own resources. We don't think we have enough with Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we think, well, no, we must need some help. I must be able to accomplish this project if I get some outside help to come in. I'll finally be able to have joy in my life once I meet the right man. I'm not talking on behalf of myself, by the way. I'll finally have enough joy in my life when I meet the right woman. I'll finally have joy in my life when I have children. I'll finally have joy in my life when my children leave the house. I'll finally have joy. Come on, we're real good at making excuses for not being joyful right in here and now. Not having peace right here and now. Not serving Jesus right here and now. Well, yeah, I'd give all my time to Jesus if he would just give me enough money to quit my job. It'd be real easy for me to volunteer in the church if, like, God could just, like, give me a couple $1 million and I could retire. We're real good at making excuses for not doing what God has called us to do now. We've got a limited perspective, and God's trying to enlarge our perspective this morning. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, how about you feed them? Now, I don't believe that he expected the disciples to do exactly what he did. I don't believe that Jesus expected them to be like, hey, no problem. Sure, you want me to feed them? 5 loaves, 2 fish, not a problem. I'll just take those. I'll pray over them. Bam, we're going to have multiplication. I don't think that Jesus expected them to do that. I think that Jesus simply wanted to see what they would do. Not that Jesus didn't know what they would do, but they didn't know what they would do. Jesus was looking to expose in them what's in their heart. You know, I believe that Jesus is constantly giving you opportunities to expose what's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So Jesus gives them an opportunity. Let's see what they're going to do. You feed them. This is what they say. We've got no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I can just picture Jesus. I can just picture him. If he were to continue the conversation a little longer, I could picture him saying, see, that's the difference between you and me. You see only what you have. I see what can be. You see only what's in front of you. You see only what's in your bank account. You see only what your current circumstances are. And Jesus says, I see what that can become with the anointing and the touch of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is constantly looking not at the reality of what is, but at the potential of what could be. We walk around just evaluating things how they are. How you doing? Well, not so good. I got this, I got this, I got this. We evaluate based on how we're doing today. Jesus always shows up and he talks about the potential of what we can be with his help. God shows up to a man named Gideon as he's hiding from his enemies. And what does he call him? A mighty man of valor. God doesn't see you just as you are. He sees your potential of what you could be. The disciples said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, I see much more than that. I see more than enough food to feed the multitudes, to feed the thousands. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Where we see a ceiling, God sees a new platform. Where we see a ceiling, God sees a new platform. We see the end of what we have. God says that's the seed that can start something new. I wonder how many of us, when God comes to us with a dream, with a leading, with direction, I wonder how many of us would respond if God says, I've got this big plan for your life. I wonder how many of us would, if we were honest, if we would have this excuse. God, I would love to, but I just don't have enough time. Anybody in the room busy? Got things to do? Like, this is just the culture that we live in. We are busy all the time. We've got to squeeze things into calendars, and just try and make plans with somebody in the room after church today. Just try and do it. You'd be booking 6 months out just to try. I could probably squeeze you in by Thanksgiving, right? We are busy constantly because we got something Sunday, something Monday, something Tuesday. We're always running around. We're always so busy. And I wonder how many of us have God so neatly tucked into our schedule. We've got Sunday morning church. Got a Bible study time, we got prayer time, breakfast, lunch, dinner, before bed. I wonder how many of us, if God said, here's the time that I need in your day, I wonder how many of us would be like, I just, you're gonna have to book an appointment with me, God. Like, I'm just busy. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? We feel so busy. And then we get our weekly screen time update on our iPhone. And it tells us that we've spent 7 hours on social media and 4 hours on YouTube. Hello. Some of you got that. Some of you have no idea what I just said, but some of you understand what I'm talking about. We feel like we have no time, and yet, honestly, can I tell you something? I love doing this. You can do this too. In the evenings, when it's dark outside, when you're driving around, whether you're driving home or driving out somewhere, look at the houses in whatever subdivision you're driving through. And if there's a car parked in the driveway, the great majority of houses, you know what you're going to see? A glowing light shining through their living room window. Okay, now, this is a safe space, right? Everybody knows I love you. I'm not judging you. I watch TV too. Almost every night before we go to bed, we watch some TV, we relax. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. My point is simply this. We are not as busy as we think we are. You have more time that you can give to what God has called you to give. You have more time that you can invest in your marriage. You have more time that you can invest in your children. You have less shows that you can binge watch and a little bit more that you can invest into whatever it is that God has called you to do. If that's a good word, why don't you go ahead and shout amen? Amen. Here's the reality. We all like to make excuses. I just don't have enough time. Don't have enough time. I just wish there was another hour in the day. If I could just have another 2 hours in the day, I could get stuff done. Here's the thing. We all get 24 hours in a day. We all get 365 days in a year. If you had another hour, it wouldn't make a difference. I believe Satan is using this within us specifically to make us feel so busy that we can use our busyness like a crutch and make excuses for not doing the big things that God has called us to do. Jesus looked at those loaves of fish and bread differently than his disciples. The disciples saw it as their capacity. It's all we have. This is all that I have. This is all that I have. I just have this much money, this much time, this much talent. That's all that I have, God. So if you're gonna call me to do something bigger than that, I don't know how you're gonna expect me to do it. Jesus saw those loaves and fish as the start of a miracle. Jesus saw it as a seed to sow that would lead to a harvest. So watch what Jesus does. He tells them to split them up into groups of 50. Did you notice that? I never noticed that before. Reading it through really closely, he tells them to split up everybody into groups of 50. You'd think that's a strange thing. There's probably 20,000 people there because there's 5,000 men and there's always more women in church than men, right? It's just true. And so it's probably 20,000 people there. And he splits them up into groups of 50. Why does he do that? Well, he's got five loaves. What's 5 to 50? A tithe. Jesus understood, I know how to tithe. I know what to do with a tithe. See, this is what we believe about tithing. We believe that if you put God first with your finances, with your resources, with what you have, then the rest will be multiplied and you'll be taken care of. Jesus took a tithe and said, this is not the last thing that you have. This is the first thing that you have. And if you trust me with it and give it to me, then I'll multiply the rest. Then the miracle took place. My point is this, where the disciples saw a limitation, Jesus saw the raw materials for a miracle. Could it be that the thing that you see as your greatest limitation are God's ingredients for the next miracle in your life? God approaches a man named Moses and says, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh, and I want you to be the mouthpiece that will set my people free from slavery in Egypt. And Moses says, but, I have a stutter. See, could it be that the thing that you think is a limitation is actually the very thing that God wants to use to perform a miracle? I believe that if we'll renew our minds to this whole idea of experiencing the God who does more, it'll change the way that we look at our circumstances. We'll actually start to believe that all things are possible. See, we know all things are possible. We know it. We read the Bible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Sure, that works for Moses and Abraham and Noah and David. Good for them. But how many of us want to actually believe that for us, that all things are possible with God? There's a story in the Old Testament about a prophet named Elijah, and one day God sends him into the town of Zephathah, and he sends him there, and he says, I want you to go and find a widow, and this widow is going to be someone who will feed you. She's going to be your source of provision and sustenance. So Elijah goes into Zephathah, and he finds the widow that the Lord was referring to, and when he finds her near the entrance of the city, he asks her to go and get him a glass of water. She turns to go and get him a glass of water, and he stops her and says, and while you're at it, could you get me a piece of bread? Now she pauses and she says, if you remember the story, she says, I don't have any bread at home. All I have is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm on my way home to make one more meal for my son. I'm going to feed my son. I'm going to feed myself. And then we're going to die. Okay, now if you're Elijah, I'm telling you, if I'm Elijah, I'm calling a timeout with God right now. God, you sent me to this town. You sent me to this person. There's a lot of people in this town. There's a lot of people who probably have some bread at home too. There's a lot of people who are probably a little bit more well off than this lady. You could have sent me there to get a sandwich, to have a meal. But in your divine sovereign wisdom, really, God, you sent me to a widow who has no more bread. And all she's got left is her last meal. Let me remind you again that sometimes God says things that sound strange. But it's not that he's strange, it's that we're strange. And we need to start listening to what he's saying. I mean, come on, if you're Elijah, you're thinking, this is crazy. This is crazy. I'm going to ask this widow to give me her last meal? Let's just put this in 2020. Just imagine I show up at your house and you got all your bills spread out on the table, you got your calculator, you got your spreadsheet, and you're plugging in all your bills, you're doing your budget, and you just found out you have enough money to pay all your bills and then you're broke. And then I knock at your door. And you tell me what's going on and I say, that's all great, don't worry about it, just instead of paying your bills, give me your money and God will pay your bills. Just imagine. If you could all just write your addresses down on a piece of paper, leave them on the way out today. I'll do some home visits. No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine a pastor showing up at your house saying, don't pay your bills, pay me instead? This is the kind of thing that people leave churches for. This is the kind of thing that gets pastors on the front page of the paper for. Could you imagine? Prophet steals last piece of bread from widow in Zarephath. Can you imagine? Horrifying, horrifying to be Elisha. Man, you find out if you trust God real quick. And Elisha trusted God. He said, don't be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. If you go home and make that piece of bread and give it to me, I'm telling you, God will see to it that that flower pot will never run empty and your oil will never run dry. If you will trust God with what you have, he will give you what you don't. Do not wait and think that you'll be a good steward of the blessings that God's going to give you once he gives them to you. Do not think, oh, well, I don't really take care of my house too much now. You know, it's kind of old and kind of run down and so on. You know, but if God ever gives me that 5-bedroom house, I'd tell you, I'll clean that thing every day. I will, Paul, once I move, I've got the laminate countertop. Now, once I get the quartz in, I'm gonna keep that. I know I don't wipe my laminate countertop, but once I get the quartz, I'm gonna wipe the quartz down. Come on, don't we feel that way? Sometimes we say, you know, I'd take better care of my car if it was newer car, if it was a nicer car. I treat my wife nicer if she was a wife or nice. Come on. Nice or wife. I said wife or nice. That's not a word. I couldn't even say it because my wife is so nice. I couldn't even get it out right, right? What does the word say? If you can be faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. Don't look at what you don't have and pray, God, give me more. Oh, it's the year of more. God, give me more. No, start by saying, thank you, God, for what I already have. I will treat what I have as prized treasure because you've entrusted it to me. So Elisha says, make me that piece of bread. She does it. What happens? God does what he does. He's a God of miracles. Her flower pot never empties. Her oil never runs dry. What am I saying? God might just send you this year to some peculiar places and some peculiar people to be the source of your next miracle. God just might send you to someone who you think God's sending you there for you to help them, and God's sending them there for you, for them to help you. If God says some strange things to you this year, lean in, because it just might be him. When I took the job to become the children and youth pastor here 9 years ago at the church, I was a manager and a server at the Rainforest Cafe, and I was doing children's ministry here, and then they wanted me to also do the youth ministry, come on staff doing children and youth ministry. And I'll never forget the meeting in with the pastor, and he told me this is how much we would pay you, and it was a lot less than what I was making at the Rainforest Cafe. So here's what I wanted to do. I used my logic and infinite wisdom, also known as very finite wisdom. And I said, well, I'm just gonna do both, right? Because that's a lot of money for me to not be making. So I'll just do both. I can do both. I'll just do both. And my wonderful wife, let me just pause for a second to say thank Jesus for wonderful wise wives. She said, Tim, what are you called to do? Are you called to serve tables? Are you called to work at the Rainforest Cafe? Or are you called to serve the church? You believe this is your calling? Has God called you here? I said, yeah. She said, quit your other job. If they pay you nothing, who cares? Give them all that you got. What am I saying? This year, God just might give you an opportunity that doesn't look like it's something heading in the right direction. You might lead you to a job that's less pay than you're currently making, but it might actually be that it's a stepping stone to the blessing that's around the corner. Sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward. And when I said, who cares about finances? I'm going to serve Jesus. Then God saw to it that I was taken care of, and now I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm sure Elisha felt a little embarrassed saying what he said to her, but he said it anyways. Elisha had a more mindset. He saw that piece of bread and he believed there's more coming. He saw what she thought was her last meal as just her next meal. It's a shift of perspective. We need to have that same shift. We need to stop saying, well, this is all that I have. Sometimes we try and sound humble, don't we? It's all that I have. This is just my little house, my little car, my little thing here. It's just little. We try to sound so humble, and really, we're just complaining. We need to have a mindset That this is where I am, and God's blessed me with everything that I have, and he's going to continue to lead me and bless me and give me more. Stop speaking in ways that are so defeated. We think this way about our church sometimes. Oh, we're just a little church here in Niagara, just doing our little thing. Just doing a little something-something here in Niagara and just this little church here. Folks, you are a member of the body of Christ. You are a part of an unstoppable movement that has outlasted every other movement in human history. Because this is not a movement, this is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are not a part of some little church. You are a part of the global church of Jesus Christ that is changing the face of the world. You watch how you speak about the church. We're not little. We're bigger than we think. People with a no more mindset see themselves as little when they look in the mirror. People with a more mindset see Christ in them when they look in the mirror. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. You know that you have a no more mindset when you're always thinking about your limitations. And you know that you have a more mindset when you're always thinking about just how much God can do inside of you. People with no more mindset see their greatest days as behind them. People with more mindset see their greatest days ahead of them. People with no more mindset say there's giants in the land. People with more mindsets say we are well able to take the land. You remember the story? Moses sends out spies into the land, into the promised land. God says, I'm going to give you this land. Moses sends out spies to go and check it out. And this is the report they bring back. They say that there's giants in the land. Is that true? Yes. And this is what they said. And we seem to them like grasshoppers in our eyes. In other words, this is what we think that they think about us. You ever experienced that before? Only every time you have a conversation with someone, right? You're listening, you're talking, and then you're thinking, what are they thinking about me right now? Am I the only person who does this? You're all looking at me like, what? They, in their mind, this is how they saw us. And because of their mindset, their limited perspective, which saw themselves as very small, even though they had God Almighty on their sides, because of their limited perspective, watch this, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Stinking thinking. It's just little me. It's just little us. We're just this little group of Israelites. How are we going to overtake the land? 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years later, Moses is dead. There's a new leader in town. Joshua is going to send in some more spies to check out the land. And what happens when the spies get there? The spies meet a lady named Rahab. And you know what we learn from Rahab? Everybody in the promised land is terrified of the Israelites. They said, everybody here is scared of you because everybody knows that God's on your side. And if you were to ever try and take this land from us, you would win and we would lose. Come on, how golden would that information have been 40 years ago to Moses' spies? All along, even though there were giants in the land, they all knew that if God is on their side, nobody can come against them. But they had a different perspective. Oh, they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. We don't have enough money. We can't afford the bills. We can't buy the property. We can't build the building. We can't send out the missionaries. They had a no more mindset, and it turns out all along that even the enemies knew that God was on their side. A no more mindset says there's giants in the land. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm just going to go eat this last meal and then I'm going to die. A more mindset says there's more with us than there are against us. Come on, you remember that story, don't you? Another prophet in the land, there with his assistant, wake up in the morning, and what happens? They're surrounded by the enemy. Enemy troops all around, coming from every angle. And the prophet's assistant says, what are we going to do? We're going to die here. What does the prophet say? There's more with us than there are against us. There are more on your side than on your enemy's side. There are more forces fighting for you than there are against you. See, the devil wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid. Here's what he doesn't want you to know. He's afraid of you. He has been defeated at the cross of Jesus Christ. He has no power, none. The only power, the only sense of power that he has is to trick you into thinking he has power. He is a defeated foe, And he's terrified that you'll wake up one day and realize it's true. So stop seeing limitations everywhere you go. Stop looking at the five loaves and the two fish and the last meal. Stop looking at the giants in the land and start looking at Jesus. Let me give you one more story. You want more story? Man, we could just read through the whole Bible. And we won't, don't worry. It's okay, we'll send you home eventually. 7 more hours. Okay, there's a group of friends in the Bible. They go to take their friend to Jesus because he's paralyzed. Mark's gospel tells us that when they got to the house where Jesus was, there was no more room. No more room. No more room. Mark 2:2 says there was no more room, not even at the door. You couldn't even open the door. You couldn't even open the door. There were so many people crammed in there to hear Jesus preach and to just see what Jesus would do that they couldn't even open the door to get in. Now, a practically minded person, anybody a practically minded person, right? We go to the practical side. Well, I'm just being practical. How are we going to pay for it? Just being practical. How are we going to get the volunteers for it? A practically minded person would say, we tried. We tried. What do his friends do? They hop up on the roof and they start shredding shingles. Because my friend needs Jesus. Anybody in the room have a friend who needs Jesus? My wife was watching this week some services at a Faith Church. I don't know if anyone knows Faith Church in the States, David and Nicole Crank. They're doing a series of revival services just this week. And I didn't even watch this. She was just telling me about it. But they told the story of this 14-year-old girl who was having these pains in her joints, and she went to go see her doctor, and the doctor said, you need to go to the hospital immediately. And I don't know the diagnosis, but within a few short months, this 14-year-old girl was in a wheelchair. 14-year-old girl, can you imagine? And her friend starts inviting her to church, come to these services that we're having. We believe that God can heal you. And she comes, and in the service, this lady got up out of her wheelchair, 14-year-old girl, and she's been walking for several days ever since. Anybody got somebody in your life who needs Jesus? Whether it's a healing, whether it's salvation, whether it's for their marriage, folks, we're surrounded by people who need Jesus, and I believe God is looking for some people in this house today who will be willing to shred shingles to bring their friends to Jesus. I believe that God is looking for some people who are ready to rip the roof off and say, nothing's going to stop me from bringing my friend to Jesus. Nothing's going to stop me because I care so deeply for those who don't know Jesus that they need to know Jesus. I care so deeply for those who are sick and need a healing touch from Jesus that I'm bringing them to Jesus. I believe that if we're going to get some Holy Ghost boldness this year, then we're going to see God do some miracles. They refuse to allow what seemed to be their limitations to limit them. I believe that this year God is looking for people who refuse to be limited by their apparent limitations. Are you willing to look in the mirror and look at your own insufficiencies and say, I believe that God can use me in the areas where I'm the weakest? Oh, well, I'm just such a quiet person. I'm just such an introvert. I'm just. Are you willing to say, God, I believe you can use me in my greatest weakness? Because I believe that when I'm weak, you're strong. I believe that God is looking for people who will stand up and say, I will not let my financial situation limit me. Come on, stop saying I don't have enough money. Oh, I'd give to missions if I had more money. Stop making excuses. God's looking for people who'd say, I won't let my financial situation limit me. I won't let my divorce limit me. I won't let my busy schedule limit me. I won't let my sore back limit me. I won't let my past sins limit me. Come on, is that a good word for anybody in the house? I will not let my past failures limit me. I will not let my future failures limit me. Because I serve a God who's got fresh mercy for me every day. I won't let my lack of education limit me. I'm going to stop making excuses and I'm going to serve Jesus with every fiber of my being. Here's what God dropped into my heart this week. I believe this is a word for our church. I believe for you. I believe for us as a family. Here's what God dropped into my heart this week. We're going to start reaching tens of thousands through this church. Now, we're already reaching thousands through the hundreds that are a part of this church. We're reaching thousands in our own lives every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God dropped in my heart, we're about to start reaching tens of thousands of people through the power of the Holy Ghost that's in every person in this church who's coming with me. Stand to your feet. And let me lead us in a prayer. Lord, as the prophet prayed for his servant to have his eyes opened, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes today, God. We don't need to see something with our physical eyes, God, but with faith, I ask that you would open our spiritual eyes today, that we would be able to look around and see there's more with us than there are against us. There's more of the forces of heaven who are working and ministering, bringing life and bringing turnarounds and bringing healings. There's more of the kingdom of heaven that's at work than the kingdom of darkness. God, help us to renew our minds today, that you're a God who does beyond anything we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Help us to see you as the God who does more. And Lord, help us to remove limitations off of you and help us to remove limitations off of us. God, I pray that when we look in the mirror, we would see Jesus in us and not ourselves. That we would not see our limitations, but that we would see you. God, that we would not see our insufficiencies, but that we would see your sufficiencies. Your grace is sufficient for us, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us power to do what you want to do this year, God. We're giving this year to you. We're giving this year to you, God. Have your way. Do more. Do it big. Do it to get glory, Lord. We pray that you would be glorified, Lord God, not just in our midst, but that everyone around us, Father, would see your glory and give you praise. Lord, we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a shout today?